My name is Christoph. I'm one of Georg's PhD students, and I'm happy to give you the introduction for the exercise today. So, first of all, why are you here on a rainy Wednesday morning at 8 a.m.? You have the chance to apply theoretical concepts taken from the lecture and apply them in a kind of real-world setting. One of the main problems in social network analysis is that you need to have some kind of data set with specific features, and it's a real challenge to get something like that. So you participate in this scientific setting, and I'm sure that there are plenty of possibilities to learn something. You're encouraged to come up with own ideas and suggestions on social information retrieval. That's the topic of my PhD thesis. And as you already might know, you can improve your overall grade of the lecture by participating in the exercises and submitting all 5 homework assignments. So, who is this guy? That's me. And my son, what you don't see is that the slide you're sitting on was really steep, and my wife was pretty scared standing on the other end of the slide, telling me that our son is still far too young to have fun like that. After a couple of minutes, she realized that I was right, and I had my very own personal new economy disaster a couple of years ago, 2007. Founded a startup on collaborative search as a second year bachelor student. Later on, I went to Georg and did my bachelor thesis on social networks in science and my master's thesis on social situation detection. After my time at university, I joined a small company near Munich doing real-time Linux kernel development for specific applications. Later on, I joined a company as a consultant, and starting from 2014, I took an educational leave and rejoined university, working on social information retrieval now. Today, I'm going to tell you something about the topic of my thesis. I give you some background information on the experiment that will be part of the exercise. We'll run through the homework assignments in detail. And, of course, in the end, we will have some time for questions and next steps. Anything you want to add? No. Oh, okay. I see.
For the lighting is crap. I'm going to adjust for that.
Thank you.
Because some of you have already...
So, social information retrieval. One of the basic concepts is that each of you has a so-called private information space. You have some knowledge you normally don't share. Yeah, that's just in your head. It's in on your computer. It's in your mobile. And you do social information retrieval by actually asking others. Yeah, that's one of the most basic interfaces. You just ask a friend of yours, hey, anything you can recommend to grab to eat or something. Yeah, and you do that in order to access information that is not publicly available, because all your recommendations, all your personal taste-related things are not listed somewhere in Google. You use that because your social network is normally quite similar to you. There's this concept of homophily that people around you are, to a certain extent, like you. So it's a high chance that their taste is similar to yours. And you can increase the probability to find something new that actually helps you, but you did not think about that at first hand, because on a higher level of abstraction, it totally makes sense that a reply that does not, on the first step, does not obviously fit to your query or your question, in the end, it still helps you. And our hypothesis is that by asking your friends or interacting with your friends, it's possible to leverage this effect. So my main research questions are the following five. First, to which degree does social context and the type of interaction you have with other people impact the user's data sharing sensitivity? For example, I have a big problem sharing my location on Facebook because then everyone sees where I stay, where my clients are, and so on. But I have no problems if one of my friends directly asks me and says, hey, Christoph, I know you spent some time in Hamburg last year. Can you recommend any place to get something to eat or any club or whatsoever? That's a totally different way of interacting. Sharing it on Facebook is proactive. And getting a question from a friend is kind of reactive. And you know the audience, so there are large differences. Question number two is this actually really worth it? Yeah. So is the stuff that my friends know really in such a good shape and in that way important that it can help me to solve my information needs? It could also be just gossip. Yeah, it's no one would be interested in. Of course, it is not. Yeah, that's because you still ask other people, despite having Google, despite having large databases, you still refer to your friends in some situations. Question number three: when you search something, you have a clear picture of what you expect as a result. Since you are not an expert, and there are a lot of things you don't know. There might be some information items that would probably solve your problem, but you're not aware of them because they are not part of your conscious information need, they're part of your unconscious information need. And it could be the case that by referring to your social network kind of automatically defaults to a way of results that help you to satisfy your information needs from the unconscious information need. Question number four. You have clear reasons why you choose a specific person to ask. You normally ask people who are quite close to you, and for example, you don't ask your ex-girlfriend for help because you want to avoid any contact with her, yeah, or your boss because you don't want to get on his nerves. What are the social contact concepts that impact the routing decisions? And the last one, I'm pretty much aware that there are lots of information needs out there that can get solved using Google and Wikipedia, like when was Mozart born, yeah? But there might be others, and I'm sure that there are others, and we just need to find some sort of definition how those information needs look like that could benefit from social information retrieval. So, enough about me. Let's jump into some background information on the experiment and the exercise. So, the exercise consists of five homework assignments. Part of those homework assignments are tasks that are related to this social information retrieval experiment. Some of them are hands-on tasks where you apply concepts from the lecture, like you calculate centrality measures, you cluster a social network, you visualize a social network, you do some tie strength prediction, and you compare it with existing literature. So the following slides are just there to give you an idea of the structure. Yeah, it's don't worry, it's quite complex, but we'll break it down and make easy chunks. And in the beginning, it's just important for me that you get the big picture. The experiment consists of three pillars, the first one being the manual mode. That's actually, as I highlighted before, that's the most basic form of social information retrieval. You have two roles. You have the information seeker and you have the information provider. And the information seeker defines a query and defines the recipient for that query. and the recipient answer the query manually. The second pillar, the automatic mode, the information seeker defines the query. The recipients are defined by the system based on certain strategies. The recipients get a recommendation which document from their information space might be a suitable answer. And after a final confirmation from the information provider that this document can get shared with the information seeker, the document gets shared. And the third thing is a quite pragmatic use case, applying social information retrieval on product search. A user searches for products. The results are taken from Amazon. And the products that are bought, that have been bought and viewed at from friends are highlighted accordingly without releasing or without sharing the name of the respective friend who bought or viewed it. The idea is that your social network kind of defines what is cool within your social network, right? It highly depends on your social network whether a Porsche or a Prius is cool. Yeah? So that's really your social network makes the difference, what is acceptable within your social network. In order to get that going in an experimental setting, and that's one of the big challenges in social network analysis, that you need to have data to prove your hypothesis. The task includes to register in a web application, to download your Facebook profile to your computer, and you tag your Facebook links in a specific way and hash them so that they're anonymized. It's not possible to calculate back the names of your Facebook friends. That you upload these anonymized hashes to the web application. And the second, well, the next step would be to have an approximation of your private information space. So your private information space in reality is everything you know. It's not possible to download everything you know on a USB stick. Yeah. So we try to approximate that by reducing it to the things you read. So we have a tool that reads on your computer your browser history and derives a list of URLs as a whitelist. And you define in this whitelist which URLs should form your personal information space. Based on these URLs, those HTML files get downloaded to your computer, and you calculate a topic model based on this information. A topic model is a statistical tool. It's a probability distribution over words that identifies special topics in a set of documents. And in the end, we would ask you to upload those topic models. Those topic models just contain word vectors and IDs for URLs. It's not your browser history. It's just a list of IDs of words and probabilities. And the last step is regarding to the pillar 3 with the product search. We have written a set of tools that analyze, that are run on your computer as well, and that generate text files on your computer. And those text files include the items you viewed at Amazon and you bought at Amazon. And you can, of course, edit them. Please feel free to remove everything that ashames you, yeah? Or you looked up for friends. And would kindly ask you to upload them as well. We're pretty much aware of your data privacy concerns. And that's why it's 100% important for us that we don't do anything without your permission. And we want to be 100% transparent on what we do. You can look at the source code of the tools that run on your computer. They're written in Python. Unfortunately, it was not possible to ship the source code as a as a way to run it on your computer, because all of those dependencies will make it really hard for you to get it run. That's why we created some binaries. But if you manage to get the dependencies done on your computer, I'm totally fine if you run the source code version. Yeah, but I promise you that the source code is exactly the same as the code that is in the binary distribution of the toolkit. Is there a question? No, obviously not. Okay. We don't know the names of your Facebook friends. We only know the hashed version of the name. None of your data will ever be related to you. So it's not possible to say that Cord actually rated me quite bad. And we don't get to know your browser history. The topic models only contain IDs and word vectors. The data will only be used to conduct sound scientific research and your exercise, because in the next step, you will analyze the large data set. Of course, it will get obfuscated. So we will remove edges, we will remove nodes, we will change attributes to make it 100% clear that it's not possible for any one of you to identify some individual and to know who rated whom in which way. Unfortunately, we need your name and your matriculation number in order to give you grades. Yeah? But we will delete that data after we did the grading. And the grading, this data is not part of the data set you get during the exercises. We will never give the data to anyone. It will stay within our chair. We won't share it with anyone. Publications based on this data set will only contain highly aggregated information. So we will calculate some regression models, calculate variances and stuff, but we are not interested in single records, of course, yeah, because social network analysis is about the network and not so much about the individual. After we conducted the Pillar 3 experiment with the product search, we will hash the Amazon products, because we are not interested in the real products, right? We are only interested in which node bought which product and how does this evolve within the network. And so after the product search experiment that we conduct with you, we will hash the Amazon products, of course. So enough preparation. Now, the manual mode, that's the first pillar. The information seeker defines a query. Yeah, that's this on the outer left side. The information seeker defines recipients, that are people within his or her social network that would be able to answer the question. Of course, you don't enter the name, you only enter the hashed name, and you have some tools to calculate that so that the privacy is preserved. The information seeker sends the query out to the designated information provider, including a link to a survey where the information provider can provide an answer and so on. The information provider responds to the query with an information item from his or her own information space. And it's very important, and it's mentioned a couple of hundred times in the website, that the information provider should not open the browser, go to Google, and search for the query, because this would make our experiment quite useless. So this should be something that the information provider actually knows about. And Google is only allowed in one special case. If you know that there is a website out there and you visited a couple of weeks ago this website and you just forgot to bookmark it, or you just have your bookmarks at hand and you want to re-find it, but it's not allowed to do some new research, because otherwise this would weaken our results. After the information seeker received the reply from the information provider, the information seeker reviews the result and evaluates the result. So we want to know how good is this result. Yeah? And this is not a personal judgment on the quality of knowledge the information provider has. Our objective is to find out whether something like this is really worth it. Is this really an alternative or a useful enhancement for normal search engines for specific cases? If the information provider does not feel comfortable answering the query, she or he can also forward it to someone else, and this can be done actually, I think, yeah, there's no limit. You can forward it until the end of the world. I'll jump over that. That's what I said right now in more detail. The automatic mode, that's the second pillar, the one in the middle, remember? It's pretty much the same. The information seeker defines a query, but the recipient is not defined by the information seeker, him or herself, but by the system, based on a randomly chosen strategy. The strategy is based on tie strength or knowledge similarity. So knowledge similarity, how similar is your knowledge to the other person's knowledge? And that's why we ask you in the first place to assess your social edges. Social context similarity, so how much do you have in common in terms of social contacts? Do you share, for example, the same courses at university? Do you live at the same building? And sympathy. A background task will then query the topic model, your representation of your private information space, and will calculate document IDs for each of the potential information providers. After those have been calculated, the respective information providers get informed that there is a query from someone and that some of their documents, in this case URLs, might match the query. And since the system does not know your URLs, we only know the index IDs, we ask you to translate the IDs to the real URLs using a tool that is also part of this software kit that you can download. And of course, you can send the reply anonymously. Yeah, so if you don't feel comfortable showing your face next to the reply, just tick the box and no one will see that you gave this answer. In the end, the same game, you just the information seeker reviews and rates the results, whether they helped in any way, and that's it. Those are the details. So, social semantic product search, that's the pillar number three. Imagine a situation you want to buy something and you don't want to spend much time thinking about it. Yeah, just need to get this children's seat for the car. You don't want to spend hours on Google and reading reviews. You want to have maximum safety for a reasonable amount of money, and you don't want to regret it afterwards. You have three ways how you can proceed. You can choose the traditional route and go to a store. Their primary interest is to make money. So they will sell you something with a high margin where they will earn a lot of money. They will give you something they already have in stock because, for obvious reasons. But it's not necessarily the best choice for you. You can go to traditional experts like Stiftung Warentest, ADAC, and so on. They give general recommendations like ease of installation and weight. Those are all parameters I don't care because I just installed this seat once. And I assume that I can figure it out how to do it. So it's not important for me how easy it is to set it up because I just do it once. And weight is also not important for me because, I'm not, I build it in the car and not my wife. Yeah. So, it does not overlap with my requirements. And as we have seen in the last month, it's not guaranteed that the expert is really objective. So a third way would be to ask parts of your social network, people who have similar requirements, and chances are quite high that you have some people within your social network with similar requirements because of this homophily concept that your friends are quite similar to you. And it could be the case that they have additional requirements that also make a lot of sense for you and they don't state them directly, but by looking at the things they bought and looking at the seat they bought for their kids, it becomes clear to you that there are some things they cared about and that make sense for you as well, like easy to clean. Yeah, ever had chocolate in the back of a car? Yeah, it's fun. And another thing, that the material is not too hot in summer. Yeah, when you're parking the car somewhere outside, and there are certain materials that are really, really hot, and that actually hurts. So having a look at what your friends bought, without knowing exactly who your friends are, you just need to know that they are your friends, can improve your decision, because you benefit from their decision process. They might have spent some time doing research, and you can use that as well. So that's an example interface. We built a new interface for Amazon. you can search for a specific product, like this nice camera from Nikon, and you get 5 to 6 different items taken from Amazon. Some of them are normal Amazon items, and some of them are not. And you can rate how useful a result item is and how unexpected it is. You see that we have some merch, like merging Facebook and Amazon, that you see how many of your friends bought it or how many of your friends looked at this specific item. And you even see a good example for the mobile phone, because it's actually the same category of product, but it's not actually matching the query. But nevertheless, it could be useful. So that's about the structure of the experiment. Let's go into detail on the exercises. So the exercises or homework assignments are always due on Wednesday evening. And please upload them on the web interface. The homework assignments consist of different types of tasks. You have tasks from the experiment, like data collection, sending, replying to requests, performing searches. Scientific tasks, like reading background literature, expressing your own opinion, verifying results from other papers, and so on. And you have some hands-on implementation on data sets, like clustering, calculation and interpretation of graph properties, and so on. So I'm pretty much aware that we are not living on a green field, so there are plenty of tools out there that you can use to implement all those nice algorithmic stuff Georg presented in the literature. And please do so. Yeah, I advise to use Python. Is actually, they have a great iGraph library, but you will have the links later on. And this makes life much easier. Yeah? There is no need to reinvent the wheel. If you're not familiar with Python, there is a great ebook in the TUM library. But you don't need that much Python. Yeah, you can just look at one of the tutorials on the web. There are plenty of them, and it's a really nice language. And it's definitely worth watching it, looking at it, if you have not done so during your time at university. For each homework assignment, there's a screencast video available each week, where you hear my voice and see my screen, and I click all the stuff that could be clicked. And we have a fact pack. So if you have no time to watch the screencast video, you can also have a look at the fact pack with screenshots. Maybe that also is sufficient help. If you have any trouble doing any of the exercises, or if you have any concerns, or any other thing you feel you should talk about with me, don't hesitate to contact me. You can call me, then the thing will ring. Yeah, you can Skype me, you can email, you can even add me on Facebook or talk to me in person. Yeah, so since I'm external, I'm only here by arrangement, normally on Mondays, but when I'm here, I'm in this room. And I can come in nearly any other day. Yeah, so it's no problem. We just need to agree on the time. So the following slides explain the homework assignments in detail and give you an idea about the tasks. More detailed instructions can be found on the web, of course, in the screencast and the fact pack. So, homework assignment number one that is due next Wednesday in the evening. First of all, create your own account at the web system. Please upload a picture of yourself in order to allow your fellow students to identify you. Otherwise, you just have those handles and usernames and no one knows who the other person is. Then we have two papers as background literature on social information retrieval. And we do a small Python exercise, creating a Python network and an iGraph network and visualizing it. So that's the more detailed version. That's also on the web. Homework assignment number two, that is due the week after, is that the first part is that you summarize your personal perspective on social search. The literature you read in the first week might help you, but of course you can use any other literature and you can express your own opinion. You can, yeah, be creative and think about it. Yeah, really think about the topics, think about the problem, which challenges do you see, and summarize it in 300 to 400 words. The second task is to download your Facebook profile and to generate your individual ego network. That's the screenshot of the tool. And upload the anonymized hashed version of this network. Homework assignment number three is the most challenging one because it involves a lot of technical things. First of all, the task is to build your own private information space. So generate this whitelist for you, the list of URLs that identify your personal information space. Use a crawler to download those files. All the software is part of the software kit, so no worries. And build the topic models for your information space. Second step is to extract the items you bought and viewed at Amazon. Clean them so that you can show them to your mama, yeah? And start the manual query mode process. And the last thing is to analyze the topics in your information space. So I'll show you an example. Those are two topics from my information space. As you see on the left-hand side, you have lots of photography topics. Yeah, Nikon, some model names from Canon cameras and so on. And on the right-hand side, you have some money-related stuff. From online banking and stuff like that. In homework assignment number four, you start the automatic query process. That means you define six queries that get asked to the people who also participate. Of course, you continue to maintain the manual query process because you send queries to your social network and you probably received replies. And please evaluate those replies. And then we come to one of the highlight tasks. You get the obfuscated version of your social network. That means the data set that you all generated, and you analyze it. So you cluster it. You calculate centralities. You calculate diameter, clustering coefficients, and so on. And you comment on the results. So which results have been surprising to you, which are obvious. In homework assignment number five, please search for at least 10 items you consider to buy using the social product search interface. Summarize in bullet points what you like and what you don't like about social search. And then that's actually the cherry on top. You analyze the correlation between spatial distance and tie strengths for our data set. There is a quite popular paper from Libn Novell, one of the cornerstones of social network analysis. And he published an hypothesis that spatial distance and tile strengths correlate in a specific way with each other, and we can verify that with our new data set that you helped to build. So, pretty much at the end, for any help and support related things, as mentioned before, we have the screencast videos, we have the fact packs for each week. I read Piazza and I reply there to any questions. I talked about all the other means of communication. Don't hesitate to contact me, and I mean that seriously. Yeah. The next steps involve participating, hopefully, and submitting the homework assignments in time. There's one specific thing. It's not possible to start later because for time constraints and the chronological reasons, it's important that you start from the beginning. So if you want to join, please decide within the next week and do so. It's not possible to join later. Thank you. Are there any questions so far? We have those tasks where you express your own opinion, where you do this bullet list, for example, where you upload code for the clustering and so on. That is the basis for the grading. So it does not, if you add more Facebook friends, it won't help you. It's great and it's important and it helps me personally because this whole exercise is the empirical foundation for my hypotheses I developed during my PhD thesis. So I appreciate all your support, but the grading is based on the documents and the code you submit. Yeah. Good question. No. Only for 50. And it's pretty fast. And I know this is a tedious work, and it takes, I don't know, we tested it a couple of times, so 50 should be, you should be able to do 50 in half an hour, maximum. And the more challenging thing is that for the automatic mode, you would also need to evaluate the other participants, and that's the far larger group. And that takes more time. And that's one of the, yeah, that's actually the most annoying part of the exercise because it takes time and you are not learning that much. But that's actually the prerequisite to have the data set we can analyze later on. No. No, that's a very important point.
Can you repeat all the questions?
Okay, sure. Thanks. The first question was whether all Facebook friends need to get assessed. No, that's only 50. And please choose those 50 randomly. So that means they're sorted alphabetically in the tool, so that's totally fine to run through it alphabetically. Or you can jump the way you like, but please don't only select your real friends and those other friends on Facebook, because this would bias the results. So it's also mentioned in the screencast, but that's a very good question. Thank you. Any other questions?
Just to emphasize your stuff.
Oh, grazie. So, warm welcome from my side. So I had an appointment with Professor Bungartz. That's why I wasn't here in the beginning. So a few words from my side. So the biggest decision you're facing, and the other ones that might listen to the recording are also facing, is how much work will that be? Can I do it? What's the benefit? Of course, it's a trade, right? And first of all, considering Python. So most of you, especially the games engineering students, might not have that much experience with Python. I myself, I'm not a Python expert as well. So this book by David Beasley has the great advantage. So, you know, most of those programming languages books, so they're like 500 pages, and nobody expects expect you to read that. So the book by Beasley, I think is the name. It contains about 30 pages of introduction to Python, and that's basically it, right? If you read those 30 pages, you're done, right? So there, you can really operate Python safely, because obviously you know what a for loop is, you know what a while loop is, you know what an if statement is, you know these things, and you just need to adapt to the syntax. That's one thing, and maybe to some of the style elements of Python, and that's within those 30 pages. So don't worry if you want to do it with Python, and that's not mandatory, right? You can really access that in a very fast way. Second thing, what preparations do I need? Is that really how much hours are there in total? So we conducted several experiments with colleagues. I myself did this thing, and it really, so the considering the 1 hour of exercise time that's devoted to this, right? So one SVS, which translates to, I don't know, how many hours? 40 hours. And even in our most conservative estimations, we're much closer to 20 hours in total for all of the five exercise sheets, right? So it's on the safe side. It's not that we say, we have the students, let them work. No, it's more like it's really manageable in like 20 hours, at least if you take that seriously and work on that seriously. So that's this thing. Second thing, most of the stuff is really excellently prepared by Christoph. So for almost all the tasks, you have tools that you just need to run on your computer, and they should work. They do work. We tested them thoroughly. So that's that. They don't contain any viruses. They don't harm your computer. They don't spoil it and cut themselves into every sub bit of your system. You could easily delete it afterwards and their history, right? So we don't leave any NSA like spy bots there, right? That's this thing. And the parts that you actually need to program, please use the tools, right? So remember, maybe you remember yesterday's lecture was full of several graph clustering approaches, and well, we're not asking you to actually implement most of the stuff like centrality indices, but these are things I know that it takes a lot of effort, right? So shortest path between us, if you remember that, in order to do that, you need to solve the all pairs shortest path problem. This in itself would require a lot of implementation, efficient algorithms, and so on. Don't, right? Use the stuff out of the box. Nobody expects you to implement all pairs shortest paths, right? We have links to tools. Please use them. However, as in the lab course for the games engineering students, we have this basic implementation, but it requires you to add a little bit of code, obviously, right? And the personal assessments, and those little texts, 300 words are not very much, right? So these little texts of your assessments should be based on the scientific papers. So in essence, it's a very, 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 very short term paper, yeah? So please use scientific style and use your own points of view, but reason about them in a scientific way. That's this. So in general, it is safe, and you can really do it. It's not very hard, right? It's based on the basics of the lecture, and of course the experiment, right? And in terms of grading, well, we take the individual parts that you submit, grade them, and this will be like count as much as the mark from the exam for the exam part, right? For the social computing students, it's only the exam part anyway, and for the social gaming students, it's one half of the stuff, right? And please, this is the last word from me. We would really be grateful if as many of you, and I explicitly include those that are not present here, and please tell your colleagues and friends also in the lecture to please take part in this, because it's really an important part of his thesis and his evaluation. So if we should see like a very low participation, it would not be very good for his PhD thesis. But that's just a personal statement from me. Of course, you're free to not take part if you don't want, but if you take part, do it from the beginning and do it until the end. So, well, both things, like dropping out in the end and starting late, are not really very much an option, because that would pretty much ruin it in a certain way, right? So please, if you do it, and it's, I guarantee you, it won't hurt you in the rest of the semester, right? And it's over, what's the last, when is the last assignment due? So the last assignment is due at the end of June. So you have pretty much time to prepare for the exams, for your other stuff, so we know that we're not the only thing that you do in this semester. So it'll all be over, hopefully, by the end of June. And then you can prepare for anything else, or go on vacation, or whatever you want to do, right? So any additional questions now? Just can be anything, right? So... And with respect to privacy, we really discussed, we know that it contains some invasive parts, but with the help of those hashing and the other measures that we take in the obfuscation, we think that it's a safe thing, right? It's privacy safe. So since it's all not actually mandatory, we thought it was sensible to, yeah, actually do it that way. And I can really assure you, from my personal point of view, it is absolutely safe. I'm not going to deal this out to any other researcher or collect other things than the ones we said, right? So in the end, the data set will be completely anonymized, so it won't be able to trace anything personal back to you, right? Especially those things like how do you rate the tie strength to person XYZ, right? So person XYZ will not get to see your estimation of the tie strength to that person, right? And it will not be possible to trace it back in the end. So it should be a safe thing. Yeah? Cool. So hopefully I'm really looking forward to have as many of you as possible, because that would really be an issue that would be very, 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 very nice for us. Okay? So if there are not any more questions, I would say we'll meet again next Wednesday, because you know that next Tuesday there is a holiday, lecture holiday, so no lecture on Tuesday, right? So, good. So then, thank you. Thank you, Christoph, and see... one more question. Yeah. So until next Wednesday, 27th, the first homework is already due, right? So if you consider today, tomorrow, or let's say by the end of the week, it should, so the first assignment is absolutely minimal in practice, right? So it's basically download the papers, right? What you make out of the papers is already due until the other week, like the second week, right? So you don't have to write anything. So download the paper. That's the thing. Create your account, upload your picture, and generate and visualize a random network, right? So generate and visualize a random network should be doable in several hours.
The shortest solution for that task is less than 10 lines of Python. Yeah, so you can even do it in 5. So it's really easy. Yeah, and if you have any questions, ask on Piazza or drop me an email.
So that's why I think the first assignment is due next Wednesday, but it's really not a big thing. Yeah. And maybe you can use the time to think about studying the 30 pages of Python. Once again, it's a free ebook, so you can access it for free. Just read it and do it if you want. So that would be another thing that you could do in the first week if you want to, right? But it's not really necessary. So even if you decide to join in on Tuesday and say, okay, I'm going to do it, should be possible, yeah? So don't worry. Okay? Cool. Thanks a lot. See you next week.